2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says this, "So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, 'Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab.' But Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?' And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, 'Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah.' And Jehoshaphat said, 'The word of the Lord is with him.' So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, went down to him." And let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless our service tonight, God. Bless the preaching of your word. God, thank you, Lord, how important the word of God is. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Challenge us to be better for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe seated. The background of the story here, I'll just quickly catch up on it. Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, joins up with Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, to fight against Moab. In the midst of going to battle, they couldn't find any water to drink. And Jehoshaphat at least had enough sense to try and get an answer from the man of God. Oh, if we would just, when we run into problems, turn to the Lord, amen. Maybe if they would have done that in the first place, they wouldn't have found themselves in a problem they were in. But when looking for the man of God, one of the servants of the king of Israel recommended Elisha. And here's the thought, here's the thing that jumped out at me, was the description that was given of Elisha. Notice what it says there. In verse 11, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." Of all the things that Elisha could be described as and known for, he was known as the man who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And here's the thought, the title of the message tonight is this: whose hands are you washing? Whose hands are you washing? Now, if we're in Green, we are in Green County, so maybe it ought to be, whose hands are you washing? Amen. We always like putting ours where they don't belong, right? Just like my wife, she's always like, what's in the bathroom? I said, a toilet. She says, a what? A toilet. No, a toilet. There's no R in it, all right? So whether you wanted to call it, whose hands are you washing, or whose hands are you washing? Amen. Whose hands are you washing? Now, this isn't a message about personal hygiene, okay? Although, if you've ever taken a trip with teenagers, probably a good thing to preach on personal hygiene from time to time, amen? And I remember actually doing that as a youth pastor one time. We did that. After a youth trip, I came back and preached a message on that. But this isn't a message about personal hygiene. It's a message about being a hand washer. It's a message about being a servant. Being a servant. You know, if there's a message we need in the day and age we're living in, you know what it is? It's that of being a servant. Amen? The word servant, serves, and service are found over 1,300 times in the Bible. In fact, so much to so that Jesus said this to his disciples one day when they were arguing about who was the greatest. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, that's what they were arguing about, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. He that doth serve. In fact, Jesus, as our ultimate example, said, this is what was said of him. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And by the way, we probably could just as well entitle this tonight, "Whose Feet Are You Washing?" Because you know what? Jesus even went beyond washing the hands. Jesus washed the feet. In John chapter 13, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he pours water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Let me say this, folks. If Jesus thought it was important enough to break out the towel and break out the water and do some washing, you know what? It's so important for us today, too. Amen? I want to just give you three simple thoughts tonight. Number one, the requirements of being a hand washer. The requirements of being a hand washer. You're not too far from there. Flip back over to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We see where when Elisha came on the scene here. Elijah, God told him to look for the man he was going to train. And so here's what it says in verse 1 Kings 19:19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave them to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. We see in this passage some requirements that led Elisha to be in the hand washer that he was. Number one, notice here, he was a hard worker. He was a hard worker. By the way, when Elijah was looking for a replacement, you know what? He didn't go to the cottage and look for the boy that was in the house. That's not who he looked for. I believe when he rounded that corner and he saw Elisha, by the way, notice where he was at. He wasn't just in the field plowing. It says he was in the yoke with the 12. Elisha knew how to work. And I believe as soon as he saw that, God spoke to his heart and said, "That's the one I want right there." And let me say this, folks. You know what? God can't use a lazy person. He can't use a lazy person. Being able to work hard is one of the foundational character traits that a person must have in order to be a hand washer. You know what? Let me say this. Young men, young ladies, learn to be a hard worker. Work hard at home when there are chores to do. Work hard at school when it comes to your academics. Work at church in your ministries. Be a hard worker all the time. I believe we ought to be working hard when it comes to the jobs God has given us to provide for our needs. Oh, in this world, what a testimony a Christian could be and that they are when they just go out there and work hard. I mean, folks, listen, the world, they're not hard workers. They're looking at more ways to get out of work than they are to work. You know who the hardest workers on the job ought to be? It ought to be the Christians, amen? So yes, absolutely. When you get out there, go out into your job, whatever God's called you to do, and work hard at it. Let me say this. Don't just work hard at making a living. Work hard also when it comes to serving the Lord, amen? You know what the devil wants you to do? I learned this also from Pastor Ross. He wants to keep people busy building the things for Egypt that they don't have time for God. Listen to me, folks. Listen, it's important that you go out there and work, amen? But listen, don't just give all your time to mammon. Make sure you work hard when it comes to the Lord, amen? And I believe we're to do both. So it takes, in order to be a hand washer, hard work. Not only that, it takes commitment. Notice what Elisha did in verse 21. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave them to the people, and they did eat. You know what you call that? You call that being all in. You know what he did? He got rid of the things of his past life and said, "I'm burning those things. God's called me to something different, and I just want my family to know. I want you to know, Elijah. God, I want you to know I'm committed." Amen. He was all in. By the way, he knew what it meant when the mantle was cast upon him. He knew that. And by the way, he proved the commitment by burning the things that possibly could hinder him. And you know what, church? If you're going to be the hand washer God wants you to be, you got to be committed. By the way, it's easy to be committed when things are going your way. It's easy to be committed when you're in the limelight. But what happens when things aren't so easy? What happens when things do get difficult? That's when your commitment is challenged. You know, it takes commitment, bus workers, every week to get in those neighborhoods and fight for the souls of those young people. That takes commitment. Now, it may have been a little easier this last weekend when the temperatures were in the 70s and the sun was shining. But guess what? You know that's not the way it's going to be here in just a couple months. You know what's going to be happening? Your commitment will be tested. It takes commitment to study for your Sunday school class. It takes commitment to visit those young people. It takes a commitment to involve yourselves in the lives of your student. It takes commitment to do almost anything that matters for eternity. It takes commitment. Are you willing to commit? If you're not willing to commit, you know what? You're not going to be a hand washer. Because it not only takes hard work, it takes commitment. Notice what else it takes here. It takes patience. Verse 19, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. That was the first casting of the mantle. There's another casting of the mantle in 2 Kings 2:13. It says this, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. By the way, from the time, the first time the mantle was cast, from the time to the second mantle was cast, was anywhere from 11 to 20 years. Between those two mantles being cast upon him. You know what? It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in a week. It didn't happen in a month. It didn't happen in a year. It was a preparation process that Elisha had to go through. And you know what? It took for him, in order to be the hand washer God wanted him to be, patience. Patience. Now, if there's one thing, folks, that we need, it is patience. Amen? If there's one thing God taught me in this church planting process was the virtue of patience. I mean, hey, from the time we started looking for property in April of 15 till the time we actually landed a piece of property where we were going to start this church at, 14 months. 14 months. 14 months of asking. Amen? Ask and it shall be given to you. 14 months of seeking. Seek and ye shall find. 14 months of literally knocking. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I mean, we were down there looking on the plat map, finding the names of these farmers, stalking them, trying to catch them down, knock on their door, tell them what we wanted to do. They just kind of look at you. Yeah, that's nice. Get off my property, all right? And it's just like, come on, Lord. And even a few times when we thought we were so close, I mean, we were just one answer away, just one person. We went through a process. This is it. We've been praying on the property. God, we know this is going to be it. Slam, that door was shut, amen? You know what God taught me? Patience. Patience. You know what, folks? Listen to me. I got to keep reminding myself as we're progressing in our church. You know what? It's only been 8 weeks. 8 weeks. You know what? I want to do more things now. I want to do that. But you know what I got to realize? I got to realize it's all going to be about God's timing. Amen? You got to, as Jacob there talks about in the book of Genesis, you got to lead people along gently, amen? And you got to do so in the proper timing of things. And it takes patience to while you wait on God. It takes patience while dealing with people, amen? It takes patience dealing with folks. I mean, y'all should know, amen? It takes patience. Another area God teaches me patience in is our housing situation. And we got to get moved to Princeton, obviously. And we're trying to get moved down there. We've had four situations that looked like this was going to be the one. Twice, we signed papers for a piece of property we were going to be able to buy, and somebody bought it out from underneath us. Just like that, boom. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? We just had last week a lady, we found out through a couple of our church, here's a house out in the country that wants to be rented. And so I called the lady and she says, yeah, I'm going to show it. And she's like, I'll show it to you. I'll give you first dibs at it. I talked to her last week. I'm running a week behind. I'll call you. I'm going to show it to you. I get a text Sunday night. Sorry, house is rented. I'm like, what in the world? I'm like, God, what are you doing? All right. You know what it's called? Patience. God says, calm down, son. Just wait on me. I got this worked out for you. Amen? And so if there's anything God is teaching me through this, is patience. And you know what? If you're going to be a hand washer, folks, you must have patience. Patience. How about this? Humility. Humility. Again, notice the description we read there back in 2 Kings, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And then it said there in 1 Kings, then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. You know, I wonder if Elisha ever would have been able to do what God used him to do, if he would have caught an attitude the first time he realized that Elijah wanted to pour water on his hands. Who do you think you are? You mean you can't pour water on your own hands? Who am I, your glorified errand boy? Let me tell you, that's not who Elisha was. You know what he did? He looked for an opportunity to serve, and he was humble about his opportunity to serve. Humility. By the way, it wasn't the fact that Elijah couldn't wash his own hands. He was on his own for a while, okay, before Elisha came along. He was quite well taken care of himself, but he realized the value of teaching the man he was training, the value of teaching him humility, and the value of teaching him how to be a hand washer. Let me just say this, folks. If you're going to be a hand washer and do some things for the Lord, you know what? You got to be humble. You got to be humble. That means this. When preacher asks you to do something, you don't say things like, what? He wants me to do what? Make bus treats? Are you kidding me? I mean, work in a nursery? I mean, I don't even have kids in the nursery. He wants me to work in there? Listen, folks, we got to humble ourselves. Amen? If you're going to be a hand washer, it takes humility. By the way, not only can God not use pride, the Bible's very clear, God judges pride. Amen? And when it comes to humility, you're going to be humbled either way. Okay? You can either humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and let him exalt you in due time, or you can stay proud and let God humble you. I think I'd rather put myself down and let God bring me up than get to the point where I got so much pride, God's got to knock me flat on my face, amen? But either way, you're going to be humbled. So why don't you just choose humility and be a hand washer, amen? The requirements of being a hand washer: hard work, commitment, patience, humility. Next, I want you to look here, the recipients of the hand washer. The recipients of the hand washer, all right? Again, notice who it was he was pouring water on, whose hands he was pouring water on. You know who it was? His those in authority. That's who he poured water on. Let me say this, you know what? In our lives, we ought to be washing the hands of those in authority in our lives. Hey, young people, you ought to be serving your parents. Did you hear what I said? You ought to be serving your parents. Boy, do we ever have this backwards in America 2016. Not only are kids not serving their parents are serving the kids. It's all about the sporting events. It's all about this practice and that school function. Listen, parents are no more than a taxi service anymore. I'm going to tell you, folks, listen, that's not teaching your young people about being a servant. Young people ought to be taught to serve, not walking around with an expected attitude that everybody ought to fall down and worship them because they can throw a ball a certain distance. I mean, no wonder our society's where it's at. We've set young people up as gods in their own lives because everybody, it's all about them, all about them. Here's an idea. Serve your parents, young people. Hey, girls, your dad should never have to get his own drink when you're in the house. Never. Your mom should never have to clean the house and do laundry by herself. Be a servant. You say you sound like you're talking from experience. I am. You know why? Because I never have to get my own glass of tea when I'm at home, amen? I never have to get my own bowl of ice cream or anything else. You know why? I've got four little servants. Just the other day, we lost a remote at home, all right? And then, you know, it's a pain to try to watch a football game. You don't have the remote. I didn't sweat it. You know why? I got four remotes at home, and they don't even take batteries. Hey, go up there, turn to the Colts game, or turn it off the Colts game, more likely, all right? Hey, listen. Young people, when's the last time you did something to serve your teachers? You know, when I was a teacher, the young people knew that I liked Java Monster energy drinks, all right? And I went through a period of about a year where I drank those things every day. And you know what? Kids would bring those into me. They were looking for ways to help serve me, all right? Listen, I hope you find ways to serve Brother Young people. Look for ways to serve him. How about Mrs. King and Mrs. Gordon? Now, don't bring Mrs. Gordon a Monster Energy drink, okay? That probably wouldn't go over real well, all right? But, I mean, could you imagine that kindergarten class if Sister Penny was drinking Monster Energy? Help us. Good night. But listen to me. Look for a way to serve those in authority. Remember something. That's what God wants you to do. Hey, church member, when's the last time you did something to wash the hands of your pastor? He's your spiritual authority, amen? When's the last time you looked for a way to pour water on his hands? That's what being a hand washer is all about. The recipient of the hand washing was those in authority. Notice who else received the hand washing. Those in need. Flip over to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I like this here. Notice there, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take him away with my two sons to be bondmen." No, look what Elisha said. He didn't say, "Ain't my problem. Nope, too busy. I got to go do this. I got to do that." Look what he says in verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? What shall I do for thee?" You know what he did? He poured water on the hands of those in need. Let me say something, folks. We're living in a world of needs. People are looking for something, or should I say the someone that we have as Christians. Whether they know it or not, they need what we have, amen? People have both physical and spiritual needs. Listen, open your eyes to those around you. I promise you this, if you're a spirit-filled Christian, God will bring across your path those people who have needs. People who need to have some water poured on their hands. It wasn't too long, first couple weeks after the service, or after our first service, and I was there working at the church, and the door opens, and I hear somebody say something about, I think the pastor's in there. And so here come in two people to my office. And I could tell just by looking at them, you know what, they had some needs. They were a homeless couple. They were, I believe he was 24, she was 19 or something like that. They'd been walking all the way from Illinois. They were trying to get to Dayton, Ohio. And I'm like, I said, "Come in, sit down. Tell me what's going on." And by the way, I could tell right away they were legit because they didn't ask me for anything. They said, look, the only reason we're here is, well, they did ask me to use my phone. That was it. Can we use your phone? We're trying to get a bus ticket so we can get to Dayton. I said, tell me your story. What's going on? And you know what? Horrible backgrounds. This young lady, her mom, her dad was not in the picture. Her mother abandoned her when she was 8. She'd been living on the streets since she was 8 years old. And this guy happened to find her. And when he was, I think there was 4 years different. When she was 16, he found her when she was 20 because he was homeless. And they ended up getting married so that she could be his guardian, or he could be her guardian and help her. And now they're a little bit older. So I sat down and I said, okay, let's talk for a few minutes. I began to witness to him. And they both had a salvation testimony. I grilled them pretty hard on it. And so we begin to talk. And I'm like, well, what is it you're trying to do? They're like, we have a friend in Dayton that says if we can get to Dayton, Ohio, then we can get a job. And they were willing to work. And so anyway, long story short, the Lord laid on my heart. And we ended up getting them a bus ticket, drove them down to Evansville, got them on a bus, and got them to Ohio. And as I was driving down to Evansville, the guy just looked at me and says, why are you doing this for us? You don't know us. We don't know you. Why? He's like, you're the first church that hasn't looked at us and told us to go the other way. Kind of sounds like the story of the Good Samaritan, huh? Pharisees, the scribes. And I said, listen to me. I said, let me tell you why I'm helping you. Because I'm just trying to let you know that there's a Savior up in heaven who has helped me. And for whatever reason, he told me to help you. And I just want you to know Jesus loves you. He wants to help you in your life. And I'm just doing the best I can to try to be like my Savior. And it's like, almost like they couldn't believe that someone was willing to help them. Now, folks, listen, I'm not saying that to brag on myself. I'm just saying this. You know what? There's needs like that everywhere. And it may not be that exact same scenario, but there's people with needs, amen? Spiritual needs, physical needs. And if you're going to be a hand washer, you know what you got to do? The recipient of your hand washing? Those in need. And then look here, last of all, the next recipient of the hand washing was this, the next generation. Look at there in chapter 4, verse 38. Notice where Elisha, we find Elisha spending some time here. Verse 38 of 2 Kings chapter 4, and Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto the servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. Look there in 2 Kings chapter 6, just a couple chapters over. Look where we find Elisha again. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. You know what you see Elisha doing? Taking time to serve the next generation. Taking time to wash the hands of those coming up behind him. Let me say this, folks. Hand washings aren't about themselves. They aren't about just those that are their peers. You know what? They're about showing an interest and investing in the next generation. Now, Blessed Old Baptist Church, let me say this. Be thankful that you have a pastor who gets this. Be thankful for that. You know what? If you're not careful sometimes, you'll get a selfish mentality even when it comes to your pastor. Yes, as a pastor, we have responsibilities to our people, no doubt about it. But what a privilege to be able to invest in the next generation. And you know what, young people? You have a pastor who invests in you. Yes, you do. And you know what? Be thankful that you also have a pastor who has a vision beyond Jacksonville, Indiana, and is willing to give of his time and go across this country and invest in the next generation. Listen to me, folks. When you study a lot of great men in the Bible, if there's one main flaw that you see in their life is that it says they served their own generation, but you know what? Their generations after them were a disaster because they did not invest the way they should have into their future generations. You know what? Hand washers see that there's one coming after them, and they spend a portion of their time trying to invest in those folks. Hey, that's what the bus ministry is all about, amen? That's what Children's Church and Master's Club and Sunday School and Youth Program and Christian School and on it could go. No matter what you look at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, you know what the ministries are about here? Investing in the next generation. Because we don't just have a responsibility to ourselves and not to just those around us, but to those that are coming up after us. And those were the recipients of the hand washer. Those in authority, those in need, the future generation. And then last of all, let me show you this. The reward of the hand washer. The requirements of the hand washer, the recipients of the hand washer, the reward of the hand washer. You remember back what Elisha asked for right before Elijah was taken into heaven? You don't have to turn there. But there in 2 Kings chapter 2, it says this, "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon thee." And I wonder if God granted Elisha that request. Well, let's take a quick journey through Scripture. You know what? Elisha God used him to cause the Jordan River to part. God used Elisha to heal the bitter waters. God used Elisha to call she-bears out of the woods to destroy those who cursed. God used Elisha to caused the ditches in the valley to be filled with water. He caused the widow's oil to increase. He caused a barren woman to be able to conceive. He was able to raise back to life a dead son. He healed a pot of poisonous soup. He fed 100 men with a little bit of food. He healed Naaman from leprosy. He caused Gehazi, a servant, to become leprous. He caused an axe head to float that could be recovered. He allowed his servant's eyes to be opened to see the heavenly host. He caused the Syrian soldiers to be blinded. He caused the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, horses, and a great noise, which then scattered them. And even when he was dead, his bones raised a man from the dead when they lowered him in the grave that touched his bones. You know what Elisha received? Exactly what he asked for, a double portion. Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. And I wonder if Elisha in heaven today thinks it was worth it by spending his life being a hand washer. I wonder if he thinks it's worth it. You know, preacher, I wonder if, and I'm sure you do, but if you think about how worth it was all those years in Chicago, pouring out water on the hands of those bus kids, when now every fall you get to go to Shack-a-Mack and pour water on the hands of their children. That's worth it. Hey, bus captain, bus workers, I wonder if it was worth it all those hot summer days and cold winter weekends out pouring water on the hands of those children and parents. When you got to see some of that come to fruition this last year in the fall program, when those folks came and walked the aisle and that person that you invited from your bus got saved. Hey, Christian school workers, I wonder if it's worth it, all the time and effort pouring water on the hands of students, when you get to see them scatter across this nation serving the Lord and pouring water on the hands of other people. You know, I wonder if it's worth it, nursery workers, bus workers, master club workers, as you spend week after week pouring water in the hands of those you serve, when you're allowed to see them get saved and grow up and now bring their kids back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I wonder if it's worth it to men like Pastor Ross, my grandfathers, Bo Eichem and Eric Reiser, and many other men in this church who are now up in heaven, who took the time to pour water on the hands of a tow-headed young man who now gets to do the greatest thing in the world and pastor White River Baptist Church. I wonder if the reward is worth all the sacrifice and labor. So my question tonight is this: whose hands are you washing? Whose hands are you washing? For me, the question's simple. I have the honor and privilege to pour water on the hands of the people of Princeton and the surrounding communities. I get to pour hands on the people like Bob and Carol Curzan, who drove to Blessed Hope when their church closed down, but who are now come every week and are faithful tithing members of our church. I get to pour water on the hands of Mike and Marcia Gaso and their two kids, Darren and Michael, who've been coming faithful since the very first service. I met them at the Gipsy County Fair, and they've been coming ever since. And who they're beginning to grow in their Christian life, and even so much to so that they took their kids out of the public school and are now homeschooling them. I get to pour hands on people like Samantha Emberson and her kids Rachel and Reese, who I got to lead to the Lord just about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And her other son Randall, who's mentally handicapped. By the way, I'm so thankful God's blessed our church with that little boy. You know, I learned here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that God will gift a church that he can trust with those that are mentally handicapped. To me, that's a stamp of approval that we're doing what God wants us to do. Because I get to pour hands on the water on the hands of that little boy every week. I get to pour water in the hands of Miss Ruth Easton. Miss Ruth is a widow of a Baptist pastor. And she lives one block from the church and walks every time. She's in her 80s. In fact, if I offer to give her a ride, she gets offended. All right? One evening, I thought I was going to be Mr. Nice Guy Pastor. And I walked her back to her apartment, which is a block down the street because it was dark. And she says, "Pastor, I don't want you walking me back home. I'm fine. I can do it myself." Yes, ma'am. You know, Miss Ruth has been responsible for bringing 5 ladies from her apartment building in which she lives. I get to pour water in the hands of Mary Pugh. Mary is one of the ladies brought by Miss Ruth, who's been coming faithful now for over a month and has even brought her granddaughter a couple times. I get to pour water on the hands of Dusty and Kathy Wilkerson, who, again, I met them at the fair this summer. They used to live in Georgia and Texas and went to an independent Baptist church, and they've been desperately looking for a good church to attend. In fact, just last week, Brother Dusty sent me a text, and here's what it said. Just sitting here this morning, thinking about all the blessings, I want to let you know that we count you and your family among those blessings. I was so discouraged before God brought you guys into our life. I fear I'd slipped into that Laodicean place, and God used you to lift me out of it. God is great and just in time. Thank you for accepting God's call, and may God bless you and your family. Now again, folks, I'm not saying this to brag on me. I'm just saying these are the folks I get to pour water on their hands. Dusty and Kathy's daughter Amber and her four kids, Dustin, Maddie, Tanner, and Parker. Amber's been out of church for a while because of some bad family circumstances that she went through. Brother Dusty's been praying that Amber would get back in church, but she's been allowing her kids to come. Every Sunday, Brother Dusty and Miss Kathy bring their four-year-old son, Parker. And Parker will sit back there, and he's learning how to sit in church. One week, he was actually kind of laying down in the aisle, but he had his Bible open, looking at me, listening. But here's what Dusty told me. He says, Parker's been going home every Sunday and running through the house saying, praise the Lord. And he's like, you know what? That's starting to work on Amber's heart. You know what? Amber's been at church the last two Sundays. Now, folks, listen, I wish I had time to tell you about Donald and Bob and Louise and Bobby and Dee and Charlie and Judy and Ronnie and Tom and Tina and Annie and Rochelle and Stinger and Monica. Yeah, you heard me right, Stinger, all right? Long story, amen? Let's just say they're a work in progress, amen? Hey, listen, folks, you know what that is? Those are the people God's given me to pour water on their hands. So my question tonight is this, whose hands are you washing, amen? If you don't have anybody that you can name that you're washing a hand, why don't you find some? Amen. There's a whole world out there of people whose hands need water poured on. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for the privilege of being able to serve you, God. And Lord, we're nothing, God. You're everything. God, we're just a servant. God, if it wasn't for you, God, we couldn't even be alive. God, you're such an amazing, wonderful God. Thank you for the privilege it is to serve you. It is a privilege. It is an honor, God. Well, we don't deserve this. We're just sinners saved by grace. But thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to affect things for eternity. Help us, God, to have a humble attitude. Help us to be willing to just be a simple hand washer, God, and do what you'd have us to do. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name.